This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday, the first day of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which was February 17th this year. Ashes were placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of reflecting in prayer and fasting upon the importance of our redemption and salvation, made possible through not only Christ's suffering on the cross, but including his resurrection. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, February 21st, 2021. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, from whom all good comes, grant to those who despair the hope of the gospel. Grant to those who live in fear confidence in your strength. Grant to us ever deeper insight into your word and will. Grant that our work is useful to others. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us take a moment of silence and let us find ourselves in the presence of our loving, graceful, and merciful God. Let us pray. Before you, our God, we come to bow our hearts, to humble ourselves, to bow our heads in honor of you, in reverence of you, we come. And Father, we pray that we would come out of humility, leaving pride aside, that we would come out of our need for you, not out of our self-strength, that we would come before you with honesty, integrity, and openness, for from you nothing is hidden and all things are known. So Father, as we come before you today, we also realize that you look upon us with grace, love, kindness, compassion. We're reminded that your word tells us that you are steadfast in your love, slow to anger, and quick to forgive. So, Father, let us humble our hearts and lives before you and seek forgiveness for our sins. And Father, as we seek forgiveness for our sins, give us strength to stay away from them, to make that 180 change and not a repeat performance. Father, where we are stubborn, forgive us. Where we are weak, give us strength. Where we are broken, give us healing. Where we are unsure, give us your confidence. When we tremble from fear, fright, and the unknown, let us know that you are there. When we face a decision and we don't know which way to turn or what decision to make, let your Spirit guide us and give us ears to hear what says the Spirit. And Father, give us strength to forgive others, to extend grace and mercy, to accept others as you would accept them, imperfections, we have them, and so do others. Shortcomings, we have them, and so do others. But Father, you don't call us to stay in these places, but you call us out. You call us to move forward, to face and accept change in you. Father, hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you. And Father, we pray for each need in this congregation, whatever it may be, and our extended congregation, be it through an internet service or remembering us in a time of prayer. Let us keep them in our hearts and on our minds in love and grace. And Father, we extend our prayer beyond our own congregation to congregations in this community, congregations in this nation and around the world. Father, we would pray that Jesus is taught as the only way, the truth, and the life unto you, and that no one comes unto you except by him. That we love with passion and compassion, that we witness with conviction and grace, and that we extend a hand of grace, love, and help to those in need. Father, we would pray that you would lead the church and that the church would follow, and that the church would share your message into a hurting world to heal the divisiveness that we see, to heal the isms that are creating chasms and splits in the very families of God, much less the whole of the world. And Father, let us see that where there is division, the devil is at work. Where there is doubt, he's sowing seeds of deception. Where there are feelings of dread, he's sowing hopelessness. Where there is a lack of unity, he is sowing brokenness. Let us turn to you to find hope and healing, grace and mercy, wholeness and restoration. And Father, let us have the message you would give us, the platform with which to present it, and the courage to stand for you. Father, we do pray for revival and a turning back to you. And Father, particularly in the United States of America, it is a time when you are calling us back to you, but so many are not hearing that call. So many knees are being bowed and heads lowered in humility seeking you. We've forgotten the words of the prophet, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent of their sins, I will hear their prayers and heal their land." Father, the solution is you and Jesus Christ. Let us look for the real solution, which is coming back to you: morals, values, integrity, honesty, caring, compassion, selflessness in service, honoring you in all that we do. And Father, we pray for the many needs. We pray for the leaders in our country and our communities. Father, we would pray that they would be moved by your Spirit, that they would trust in your love and grace. We pray for those who do serve our communities, our law enforcement, our military personnel, emergency personnel. Father, during this winter time, we pray for people who are without sources of heat or food or comforts that they would need to provide the necessities for their lives. Father, we pray for the brokenness that we see, the disasters around the world, We pray for the plight of the people who are oppressed. Father, we just pray today for peace, that the words found in Isaiah would ring true, that we would come to Zion and learn war no more. And now hear us as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The liturgy today is Mark 1, verses 9 through 15. In these days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, the elephant in the room is the board up here, the dry erase board. And I think you've probably heard this at some time from me. And I want to give it to you this morning so you can write it down. So maybe it'll stick and you can put it somewhere. The Gospel of Mark is what I call a run-and-gun gospel. Mark wastes no time in getting the stories told. He cuts out all the fat, fluff, and everything else and just gives it straight to you. And this account, we're familiar with the baptism of Jesus, sounds a whole lot like, but not a lot like, the other gospel accounts. In those accounts, we get Jesus and John having a conversation about, I'm not worthy to baptize you, you should baptize me, and I'm not worthy of unloosing. We get all that conversation, and Jesus telling John, you have to do it, and John says, okay. We don't get that in Mark. We get the fact that Jesus comes and he's baptized. Boom, boom, boom. We don't get a conversation. We just get him baptized. But there's two words, and it's missed in the New Revised Standard Version for us here, and the word immediately, and it's in the Greek word that means intensely and necessary. It's this immediately, and I'll get to those in just a minute. So hold on, running gun gospel, two themes in Mark. Write these down if you want them. It's free. There's two themes in the Gospel of Mark that are prominent, fear and faith. Fear and faith. You'll hear the demons trembling. You'll hear the disciples are afraid. You'll hear a lot of struggling with the fears. And then you'll hear a lot about faith. There's faith in this piece, repent and receive and those things. It's about fear and faith. Those are two major themes. But today is the first Sunday in Lent. This past Wednesday night, we had our Ash Wednesday service where you got to come and the cross was imposed on your forehead and you were told of dust you were created, to dust you should soon return. And it's the beginning of Lent. And it's the season of Lent, not Lent on a black suit, not Lent in a belly button, but the season of Lent, which is a word that means repenting, relenting, giving up, giving away, And this is a tradition. The season of Lent represents the 40 days from Ash Wednesday until Easter Sunday is the 40 days, excluding the Sundays, that lead up to Easter. Jesus is in the wilderness, tempted of Satan for 40 days. The nation of Israel was in the wilderness. Jesus in the here for 40 years. It rained for Noah and a flood for 40 days and 40 nights. So this image of 40 is a biblical image that we get. It's a tradition. In our society today, regretfully, we want to cancel traditions. We want to do away with them. Well, we don't want to hold on to them. We want something new. We want something fancy. We want to tear it down and bring something back. And that's a problem, folks. That's a problem for a lot of different reasons. Have you noticed how hard it is to find something concrete to base your life in today? Have you noticed how we don't even have strong leaders like we used to have? We don't have good role models. We don't have people that I could tell Nick out in the big world to look up to, really. You run into one once in a while, and as soon as a good one shows up, they assassinate them. They tear them down. They run them in the ground. They cancel them. They want to cancel Christianity, and they've been doing it pretty successfully, to be honest, in this country for a while. They've taken God out of schools. They want to take one nation under God out of, they want to do away with the traditions. Cancel culture's wide open. Tear down the statues, tear down the monuments, tear down the memories, tear down the history. If we can get rid of it, then we can put something in its place. But I've got news for them. The power of God isn't that easily destroyed. Because this very Bible is the anvil on which many a hammer's been broken. But we sometimes get afraid. Sometimes we get afraid that if I do this, what'll happen? So I want to give us some things in traditions. Lent, this time of repentance, this time of looking back, this time of reflecting. How do we get there? Where do we start? Individually, corporately, nationally, and worldwide. Wesley gives us a quadrilateral. This is where you start. This informs my every single day. Every single decision, best I can, starts here. Wesley said these four things for you individually, for us as a church, for us as a denomination, for us in the world. Wesley would also say there is no personal holiness without social holiness. If you're not living it out, then you don't have it. This is talk and it's cheap. It's safe here this morning, but it's out there where the rubber meets the road, where the witness must stand. It starts first with Scripture. Scripture is primary. The Word of God needs to inform, correct, lead, and guide every decision we make. If it isn't in harmony with the Word of God, then it's not in harmony with God. God's not going to change His mind. God's not going to make something that was sin, not sin. He's not going to take something that wasn't sin and make it sin. He is consistent from the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation. The Bible is the first thing. If you want and wonder and don't know, go to the reference material. This is your primary source, is Scripture. The second one is tradition. What has stood the test of time? What has time proved out? What has been handed down to us faith by faith, year by year? Traditions. Ash Wednesday, beginning with the sign of the cross, reminding us of our temporalness, our temporariness, and of God's eternalness. Tradition that we will observe a Monday Thursday service, 7 o'clock Thursday before Thanksgiving, live in person, Thanksgiving, Easter. Thank you. That really sounded dumb, didn't it? But that's why I get for putting a commercial in the middle of a sermon. But anyway, but that's a Monday Thursday. We will come together. It'll be a very somber service. We will have communion. We'll strip all the stuff out of the sanctuary. How many of you have never been to a Monday Thursday service? Why not? Too busy. Got other things to do. Monday Thursday, if you don't have Monday Thursday, how are you going to get to Easter? Monday Thursday is about the death of Jesus. Without Monday Thursday, this is the importance of tradition. You get that whoopee, whoopee, whoopee on Palm Sunday waving a branch. And then you get, yay, he's alive, but you didn't kill him anywhere in between. He didn't die. That's why Monday Thursday is so important. It's the somberness of that service that reminds us of his death and resurrection. And for us who are going through the Lenten season in our tradition, it is that very night that we ourselves repent our most and give it over to God and our sacrifice to him. To let it be gone, to let it be dead. Monday, Thursday. It's important. It's tradition. But it completes the cycles. That's necessary. The next one is experience. How many of you have been to the School of Experience? How you like them lessons? Some of them are okay, I have to be honest with you. You know, how many of you enjoy driving in the snow? I do. I think it's fun. There ain't nothing like, Nicholas calls it drifting. How many of you like to drift? Ain't nothing like drifting in a four-door, long bed Ford truck. You know, it's fun. It is. I love it. It's just wonderful because I've done it. I've experienced it, and I've actually... You know, experience teaches hard lessons. Sometimes you have to get pulled out of wherever you wound up, you know, and you might break some things. But experience, plain old experience. You know, if it don't work, don't do it again. You know, I learned a lot. I got to be honest. I don't understand this. Now, Dennis, he said there was a good side to this, but I don't understand anyone who would think Gorilla Glue in your hair was a bright idea. I mean, honest or truly, folks, I mean, I can't understand why they would get paid for stupid. I mean, honest and truly, why? You know? And then somebody did say, well, they got a lot of money out of that. Past what? They get all this advertisement. But you shouldn't reward stupid. I mean, I'm sorry. It's like McDonald's and the hot coffee. How many of you drink coffee? Okay. How many of you realize you boiled it to get it? How many of you realize it's hot? If I spill it on me, I'm certainly not going to tell anybody I was that dumb. And I'm not going to sue them to get money out of it. And then they get money. Big money. It's amazing. It's amazing. Experience. I learned a long time ago that big red thing on the stovetop, when that's red, it's hot. And if I touch it, I get burned. I mean, and I learned that going toward it, it's giving me some warnings. You know, it's hotter and hotter. Okay, if I get burned, it's my fault. I take a pan out of the oven, guess what? I experience that it's hot. If I get burned, guess what? It's my fault. Experience teaches us a lot of lessons, doesn't it? What does experience teach us? There are some things that just don't work, that are not good for the whole, that are not purpose. We need to look at those experiences. Insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting a different result. Experience. Don't waste it. Some people learn by other people's mistakes. The rest of us are the other people. It's just the way it is. And then the last one is reason. Man, do we need this one. Common sense. Reason it out. Think about it. Go here. Look at the Word of God. look at the tradition, look at experience, and some common sense. When the roads are bad, don't tailgate. There's some common sense things out there. If you play with fire, you're going, you know, there's some common sense things. Reason. This is how we inform our journey, our lives. There's nothing wrong with writing these down, as Christians have been doing now for hundreds of years. This isn't out of date. Just because someone decides not to believe it don't mean it's not true. Jesus is immediately baptized, and immediately the heavens are torn open. And Jesus hears, and the crowd hears, the word of God, the voice of God saying, "This is my son. This is my son." And they see the Spirit of God descending on him as a dove. Be filled with the Spirit. Dove is the sign of peace in the presence of God. We remember it from Noah's Ark. After the flood was ended, he sent out the raven, and the raven didn't return. He sent out the dove, and it returned with an olive branch in its claw, a symbol of peace. The descending dove reminds us of the pouring of the Holy Spirit upon us too, as Christians, as those who have trusted in Christ. And immediately the heavens were torn open, and God said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And we'll get on my soapbox for just a minute. Please eliminate and stop saying to people, "I'm proud of you." Pride is a sin. Pride is the original sin. Pride is the root of every sin. How about saying, "I'm pleased with you. I'm delighted with you." I know as a kid I would love to have heard, "I'm pleased with you, son." I pray one day to hear the voice of my Savior, "Welcome, I'm pleased." Get rid of that pride word. Use pleased. Please. "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And immediately, I mean, can you imagine? God has just spoken. The Spirit has just come down. And I ain't dry yet, according to Mark. And the Spirit immediately drives him into the wilderness. He went from a mountaintop to the valley low. Boom, 0-60. And immediately he was taken away. He was tempted of the devil in the wilderness with the wild beast. And the angels ministered to him. You need to understand something. You're going to have highs and lows. You're going to face temptations. If you face them, that's the devil. God tries, the devil tempts. But if the devil tempts, that means God led him. That means whatever God, whether it's a test or a temptation, God has already given you a way out. But you have to trust him. So you see, that's what it's about. Jesus is in the wilderness. The wild animals around him, but the angels were with him. God is with you if you let him. God will help you if you let him. God will be with you through the trial or the temptation. And when it was over, Mark's just fast. He says, and John was arrested. He's in prison. And Jesus shows up in Galilee preaching. And he's preaching, "The time is now. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news." That's the message of Lent. Repent and believe the gospel. Get your spiritual house in order. I'm working on mine. I pray you're working on yours. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, may we be working on our spiritual house, that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May we be working on that which can make the trip. May we be working on the treasures laid up in heaven where moth and rust cannot devour and they can't break in to steal. May we be seeking the eternal instead of the temporary. Father, we pray that we would be able to balance our journey of faith in the life we live and that the two are in harmony. Father, we pray today that as we are in this season of Lent, we are reflecting, looking, seeing, recommitting, rededicating parts and pieces of our lives that have been pushed away. But Father, it's also a great time in the journey to give up some things we don't need to carry, to forgive others and let it go. A time to lighten the load for the journey ahead, to renew our way, our purpose, and our message. Father, I pray today that we're able to do that. I pray that we're able to be renewed in this Lenten season. Oh, how great it would be to see a revival in this country break out on an Easter Sunday morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, I've got stuff I'm struggling with. I just need some extra prayer. If that would be you, slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I want to be a better Christian. I want to do this through Lent. Pray for me as I try that. Amen. Pastor, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ this week. If you commit to pray for one another, lift your hands. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, hear our hearts and hear our prayers lifted before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go in grace, peace, and mercy. May we go into this season of Lent, but into our communities and homes, that they would see Christ in us. And may we have an opportunity to introduce our Christ to them. And now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.